Good morning. Thank you for being here with us today. We really appreciate it. So this is really a very exciting time to be a user. There's a whole bunch of new innovation that's going on, and there's new devices sometimes coming out quite literally every single day. We have brand new software everywhere. We've got brand new environments, form factors that people are very interested in. Now, in this section, what we want to do is talk a little bit about how are we going to build some of these applications. Now, just starting off and looking first, what do we see? I mean, just all of us, every day of our lives, we're seeing much, much more technology just show up. In the morning, if I go in and hit the ATM before I go to work, I'm using some kind of a cloud-based system, some kind of real mission-critical application running on the back end. Maybe it's running on premises, maybe it's running in the cloud, but it's a very nice, sophisticated system out there, and it's backing it up. I trust it. I can use it worldwide. You know, that's worldwide compute infrastructure. As I start getting in through the rest of my workday, I'm going to start collaborating with some of my coworkers. I'm going to see new form factors now starting to show up. Tablets and slates are going to become very popular. I've got touch, I've got nice, you know, fluid displays. It's a very easy thing to work with. And of course, it's also backed up with an additional amount of data as well. Okay, brand new look. As I'm heading home at the end of the day, I'm taking some kind of a mobile device with me probably as well. And this is where I'm kind of switching gears, maybe trying to figure out where are my friends, where are my family, what would I like to do. Social starts to show up, and I start figuring out how to plan my evening and how to get synchronized. So just in that example, and I think we can all recognize this because we're all walking around with some of these devices in our pockets, in our bags, all backed up with the cloud, but all these cool new form factors. That's a really very exciting, you know, place for us to be. Now, it also poses a lot of interesting challenges for us in development. So like I said, what I want to do is concentrate a little bit. How are we actually going to pull that off? Because these demands for these types of applications, everything you just saw, is becoming something that we have to go off and figure out how to deliver. So we're going to talk a little bit about modern applications and move a little bit more into the how we might do that. I'm going to try and spend a little bit of time framing, and then we're going to try and spend a lot of our time really inside of the product, actually using it so you can see concretely what we've delivered. First of all, Soma talked a little bit about connected devices, continuous services, and you know, what does that mean to me? Well, if I look at this overall stack, there's all of the elements that are required. I can start off at the bottom of the stack and say, look, at some point I'm going to have business logic. I'm going to have transaction processing. I'm going to have, you know, these systems that I need to keep up. I've got some of this stuff, again, running on premises. I might have some of it running up in the cloud. And I might actually want to have the flexibility of being able to take advantage of both of those. In some cases, I've got systems that I've been maintaining and building and improving for a very long time. Now, given I'm going to have that, I can build the software, but that's kind of necessary but not sufficient. Until it gets into a user's hands, I haven't really solved the problem. So I have to be able to manage the software. I've got to be able to deploy it, operate it, make sure that it's working. So I want some kind of system to help me out with that. As I move up, you know, to the top, I can look and see we've got tons of devices now, and they're not all coming from the same vendor. And that causes us a new challenge because you may be asked to go write applications, and you may not be able to actually write the same project in all places. So we've got to be able to make investments there that, you know, we think are going to make sense here. So for example, the HTML5 investments we're making. So I can always be able to present websites and content out to all of my customers, no matter what kind of device that they're using. But I may also want to write rich applications. Some of those will be on the Microsoft stack. Some of those may be on other platforms. So I need a way to do that too. And so being able to easily go off and expose business logic in standards-based ways that can be consumed from multiple form factors, well, it's going to help me with my architecture. Now I can put the logic in the right place. I can operate it very well. I can get great connectivity. And then I'm going to have a decent story. Now, finally, social is another big element to these modern applications. So both on the consumer side, touch, nice displays, the kind of fluid motion. Social, also very interesting. Showed an example up front that had a lot more to do with, you know, my friends. But with technologies like Yammer, I'm also doing a lot of that work to collaborate with my coworkers. So I want to be able to pull those sort of elements also into my software. And if I look at this entire system, the last thing I'm going to be having to do is, wow, there's a lot of systems here. So being able to do a really good job with identity, with security, and making sure things are rock solid and they work everywhere, that's going to be super important because we still expect to have that. So this is a pretty, you know, comprehensive set of stuff for us to work on if we really want to write these modern applications. Now, we've been working really hard on the Microsoft stack to allow you to do this and try and make it easy as possible. If I start off at the bottom, we have our on-premises products, SharePoint, Server, Hyper-V. I can run private clouds. I can run my on-premises. It's what you're already set up to do. And of course, new versions of Windows Server 2012 make some of this even easier. We also have our online properties with Azure and SQL Azure, so I can take some of those same workloads. Now, one of the things I want to make sure that you can do is be able to manage all of that. So System Center and the new versions we have coming out, they are designed to help me so that I can actually deploy the software, make sure things are up and running, look at my telemetry and make sure things are going, and deal with inevitable failures that are going to happen. Hardware, software, whatever it happens to be, we need to be able to handle those. Now, for us, today, we're talking about Visual Studio and the .NET Framework. And here's where we're going back and trying to get very concrete a set of technologies that will help you do everything on the screen. In particular, for developers, if you can learn a good programming language, if you can learn the runtime that goes with that, and then Visual Studio for the tools, then you're going to be able to target all sorts of things on here. We want you to be able to take that skill set and apply it. So if you can write an ASP.NET app, you can write a SharePoint extension. You can actually write a rich Windows application as well. Okay, so we can be able to apply it everywhere. Now again, once we connect this, we're going to have specifics on the devices, and we'll cover that coming up here. Now, for the services side, let me start off at the back. I think like an architect, so I've got to go build something that I'm going to be able to access and make sure that it's going to handle all the scenarios we care about. Several things we want to make sure are there. One, we saw in the ATM example, I may have systems that I've been working on at my company for a long time. This is mission-critical bedrock stuff. We are going to produce new tools that help you bring those things forward. Architecture tools, for example, new technology to build those up and add functionality. Now, I may also want to start to expose that technology. Maybe, for example, you're being asked to have a mobile application that can connect up to that system that you've been building for 20 years. So we also are working on things like I can actually put a point of presence in the cloud. I can put it up on Azure, and I can securely connect back to my on-premise. So, for example, if I were doing a reservation system, which is on-premise, I could actually put a web service-based front end in the cloud. Now I can actually have something that I can connect with mobile devices. That's a great solution because I can use what I've got, but I can also start bringing it forward, as well as starting to build new workloads that are distributed and can take really advantage of the scale we can get with the cloud and the new programming models. Now, I also talked about web applications, and that's an example where we really want to make sure that, again, you can reach all devices because they all have a browser in common. So some concrete things, and this is just a short list because we have a ton of stuff that's new in .NET Framework 4.5. But in this context, I'm pulling out three. In particular, new version of ASP.NET with MVC4, giving me some great controller, new view functionality to write really compelling web applications. That's going to make it so that I can actually write apps using standards base. I can project them to any browser that's supporting all the modern standards. I can actually be able to change form factors. I want you to be able to do that and target whichever devices people are asking you to deliver. After that, we've also produced the web API, an API controller. So another example, if I want to export REST and standards-based interfaces to my business logic, which then again can be used for multiple types of devices, we're going to make that super simple for you so you don't have to do all the plumbing. Let's let the tools actually do that for you. New version of the Entity Framework, which allows me to get access to my data, pull it out, cache it, filter it, those sort of things, because so many of our applications on the back end are really doing a lot to crunch data and pull that back through. So these are just three examples that are in the new version of the framework with new updates that are trying to make this space really very simple for you. Now, like I mentioned, I want to spend a lot more time actually looking at the product in action, so we're going to do a number of demos. So I'm going to start off with continuous services. Let me invite Orville up on stage, and we'll go take a look at the new functionality. Orville.
Great. Thank you, Jason. So today I'm going to show all of you how to develop continuous services for your modern applications using Visual Studio 2012 and a lot of the great technologies and design practices that Jason just finished talking about. So all of us are here at this event, and many of us attend events, and I'm interested in actually creating a My Events app that helps people get the most out of the events that they either attend or organize. So let's actually go and take a look. We could see here that I have a list of Visual Studio events that are taking place throughout the world, and I'm going to select the one that all of us are at right now, here in Seattle. And a few things that I'm going to want everybody to notice as we go in is that I have a title, I have a description, a lot of the common things you would expect in a web app. But I'm also pulling in maps from Bing, tweets from Twitter, And I could also sign in with Facebook. So you can see that we're actually combining data in a variety of sorts of ways. And I'm left with a question asking, well, how do I even begin to build something like this? Well, we know that with continuous services, it's really about data. Data is the foundation of it all. So let's go to Visual Studio. And in here, this is actually a new solution. So like many of you, we inherit code from other people. And I don't necessarily know where everything is. Well, new in Visual Studio 2012 is the Search Solution Explorer. So I'm going to go in. I'm going to look for speaker class. And there I see it right there. I'm going to open it up. And one of the great things is that within my application, I'm taking advantage of the Entity Framework. So as a result of that, I could just write plain old CLR classes, or POCO for short. And Entity Framework handles all the complexity of the different relationships, managing the different objects, and it makes it very easy for me to interact with. So now that I have my data, my next question is, well then, how do I expose it to different clients that want to interact with it, especially if I'm trying to build a REST-based service? Well, I could see here that within my session controller, I actually just go and inherit the API controller right here. And by doing this, I get a lot of great value. It actually handles the creation of all the different CRUD operations, so that way I don't have to spend my time developing that, and I can only focus on the code that only I could write. So now that I'm looking at this app, it's looking pretty good. Let's see, or at least the underlying service for it, right? Really what I want to know is, how could I then go and consume the API? So I'm going to go back. Let's go to our My Events app, and I'm actually going to go and manage the different events. I can see a list of different events throughout the world once again. I'm going to select the Seattle event. And I can see here that I actually want to manage my schedule. You see that we have a list of sessions spread out across a variety of rooms. And I'm just going to go select this one from Matt. And I'm actually just going to change the time slot and the room. You can see that it's really easy as just a drag and drop. And you'll notice that I didn't have to save anything. The reason for that is that it's actually just calling the APIs underneath the covers, and it's doing all the updates for me. You might also notice that I have an AJAX interface, so I could just drag and drop things. So I'm kind of curious to see, how could I use AJAX and these APIs within my application? So let's go back to Visual Studio. And we can see here that we have our index file. You see that we have AJAX written in JavaScript, naturally, also taking advantage of jQuery. And we actually have enhanced support for JavaScript and jQuery in Visual Studio 2012. You can see I have my IntelliSense. I could pull things up. It's fairly easy to make all this great code work. So everything's looking good. I'm consuming my API. But there's some more things, too. I know that people use a variety of browsers. So I want to make sure that my markup is really standards compliant. So as I go and I take a look at my HTML, the first thing everyone should notice is right up top, I'm using the HTML5 doc type. And Visual Studio 2012 is actually able to recognize the version of HTML that I'm using. And that gives me better validation of my syntax. Yes, it is a great feature. I love it too. And feel free to applaud at any point, because I love this stuff. I get really giddy. So I'm here. I'm taking a look at my code. And let's actually go and make a quick change. So I'm going to actually make this HTML4. And now you'll notice that as I've changed that, not only has Visual Studio updated to recognize that as HTML4, but now a lot of the HTML5 nodes that I was using are now getting validation errors. And this is what I'm expecting, because I'm actually using a different version of the standard. So this is looking great. I know that it's compliant. But there's still other issues I have to deal with. I know that people use a variety of browsers when they're surfing the web. And thankfully, also with Visual Studio 2012, is not only can I use Internet Explorer, but other browsers that are installed on my machine, I could actually use those for debugging as well. So that way, I could test across all the browsers to make sure it's going to work as I expect it. So I've seen this. It's starting to get more compliant. I'm doing it all within one tool. But I see a browser that many of you may not be familiar with. And this is actually called Page Inspector. Page Inspector is a new feature we introduced in this edition. And the great thing with it is that often when you're debugging applications, you're sitting in a browser, and you have the DOM, and you can see everything that's happening on the client side. But the key thing that's really missing is that when I see an error on my page, I'm really interested in what's the exact line of code on the server that was used for rendering that UI. Well, now I could actually do that with Page Inspector. So for those of you who are really familiar with the F12 developer tools, you might be looking at this, and it looks like we actually brought those into Visual Studio, which would be awesome. But we've actually taken it one step further. You'll see here that I have this inspect button. And as I scroll over my UI, you'll notice two things. One, you'll see the element that I'm scrolling over getting highlighted, but you're also seeing a dynamic update of the code that goes to the exact line of code on the server that's being used to render what I'm seeing in my UI. So as I scroll over, I see that it says, "Hi, Jason," but my name is actually Orville, so I know that there's a bug here. So let's actually go and take a look at the code. And I can see that for testing purposes, somebody had just gone and hard-coded that. So I'm going to go and change that. So let's delete that. And they actually commented out the real code. So let's go and bring that back in. And I'm just going to go and save that file now. You may notice that as I saved it, Page Inspector gave me this notice to go and refresh the page due to that tight relationship between the Page Inspector and the code. And you can see that I'm doing this all within VS. The bug has been fixed. And I was able to be that much more productive by using Visual Studio 2012. So I have this up and running. It's looking great. But I also have one more question. I know that a lot of people not only use desktop browsers, but they also use mobile browsers as well. And I'm really curious what this is going to look like. I don't have a phone simulator on this machine, so I'm actually just going to test this out using Internet Explorer. So as it loads up, you'll notice that this resolution isn't quite consistent with what a mobile browser would look like. So let's go and change this and see what it might look like. OK, so it's reformatting pretty well. I'm liking this. This is good. Oh, right here, that's not quite looking too good. Something's off. So I'd actually like to go and figure out what's going on. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to take a look at my solution. And the great thing is, because I'm using ASP.NET MVC4, I actually get to use different views. So you'll notice here that I actually have two layouts. One of them is my standard layout. But I also have the option of having a mobile layout. And within my mobile layout, I could do certain things like detect the width of the device that I'm on and reformat accordingly. So if I go back to my app, I need to now simulate like if I'm coming in on a mobile browser. But as I mentioned, I don't have a simulator here. But thankfully, I could actually take advantage of the F12 developer tools in IE. And I'll just go and change my user agent string. You'll see I have a variety of options. And I'm actually just going to select IE for Windows Phone. So let's go and resize this more like what I think. OK, that's closer to what I would expect. Refresh the page. And now you see I actually have a new view all for my application. And this looks a lot better for mobile browsers. So I'm liking this. This is looking great. We've developed our web app. Everything's looking hot. It's going to work across a variety of places. But so far, all I've been doing is taking advantage of my on-premise infrastructure. And what I'd like to do is actually take advantage of the elasticity that Azure provides. You might be thinking that I might need to go or re-architect my page or do a whole bunch of things. But actually, I could just go and publish directly from Visual Studio. Previously, I went to the Azure portal, and I actually already downloaded my import settings. So I'll just go and do that, or my publishing settings. Go through. I'm actually going to select my data that sits in the cloud. That looks great. I'm going to go and publish that. You'll see that I'll get the build information, and I'll also get deployment status to see kind of how it's going. But in the interest of time, I've already pre-deployed, and you can see that I have my app running on an Azure website. So we've actually just seen a few great things. We've seen that with Visual Studio 2012, it really simplifies the development of continuous services. You could take advantage of not only your on-premise infrastructure, but also take advantage of the cloud as well. And we also support open standards so that as you develop your continuous service, you can consume it from a variety of clients. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Orville. All right, so a lot of really great functionality. Like I said, you were able to apply your skill set across each one of these, making it really easy to get that business logic out there. Now, I want to switch again, and let's move up more towards the top and start talking about these devices that we have. Now, with web, we just talked about the ability to hit standards-based browser, being able to hit, you know, whichever form factor you want. So if you also wanted to land on Android and iOS, in addition to Internet Explorer, Chrome, et cetera, then you're going to be covered with that. So you can hit all of those. Now, if we look at the clients, we're also doing a significant amount of work on the Microsoft platform. So we've got some really exciting stuff coming out. Now let's look at a few of these. First of all, for Windows Desktop, with .NET Framework 4.5, Visual Studio 2012, we have added additional improvements, both in the framework as well as the tooling, to help you with your existing desktop applications that you're creating. That includes Windows Forms, that includes WPF. So if you're doing XAML and those sort of things, for example, we've got Blend and other sort of things to help you out with that. So we're going to really make that still a first-class experience for you, allow you to keep adding new things, and And just like we showed some cool functionality, you're going to be able to go in and you can go actually access those same APIs that we just showed authoring from those environments. Now, obviously, the new big thing we've got coming out, Windows 8, the store applications that you can go off and create. Now, there, we really want to make sure that you're able to use all your programming skills no matter what they are. So we've got XAML support. If you're used to being able to do that, say you're already experienced with WPF as an example, I can use C#, Visual Basic, as well as C++ to author those applications. We also have a big bet on HTML. So I can write an application that uses HTML, JavaScript, and CSS, and really write that rich application there as well. Now, with that, I'm going to be able to put things up, and whether you're doing, you know, the next really cool application that's going to go off to millions of people, next really cool game, or take your pick, or I'm going to be able to write something that I'm deploying in my enterprise, kind of doing group policy, but I really want it to work on these new form factors, you'll be able to handle all of those with the tool. Now, we have support also for Windows Phone. We've already got the SDKs and those sorts of things that are out. You can build those applications today. And with the new versions of Windows Phones that you've seen us start to talk about that are coming out soon, we'll have tools for that as well. And that'll work very similar to the way that you do today. You'll be able to install those in Visual Studio, and I'll be able to write applications both for the 7X and the new version that's coming out after that. Once again, being able to do a XAML, in this case now with C++, I'll get full flexibility. Now, finally, we are making big investments with Internet Explorer. So we have IE9 that we released, and we got the new version coming out, Internet Explorer 10, which will also be shipping with Windows 8. And you saw an example with the F12 tools. But in addition to that, we want the tools to be really super simple when it comes to editing my code, being able to understand the markup that I'm doing and those sort of things. Everything's going to be nice and fully integrated. So once again, I want to make sure we spend most of our time in the code. So I'm going to hand it over to Orville again. Let's take a look at some connected devices.
Thank you, Jason. So today, or the next part we're going to do now, is we're actually going to show how we have tailored connected devices experiences powered by the continuous services we just finished developing, all with Visual Studio 2012. So we're actually going to go and continue on with our events app. And right now, I'm actually interested in developing something for the organizers, right? They spend a lot of time doing a lot of data entry on their desktops, so we've actually created a WPF application for them. You can see here within Visual Studio 2012, you actually see the WPF designer. Well, the great thing about it is that it's actually Blend behind the scenes, so it has gotten that much more powerful, and once again, your XAML skills carry forward. As I pull up my application, we can see here that organizers, they have a lot of things on their mind, right? So one thing is they're tracking a variety of events throughout the world. So we'll click on the first one. We could see here that I could drill into the event schedule. I could see the different sessions that are taking place in a variety of rooms. I'll select the first one. This is for the keynote on modern development. I could actually go in and I could edit it and change different information. So once again, really optimized for the desktop experience, a lot of data entry. But there's other things I'm interested in as well. So if I go back to my dashboard, I'm also curious about how my event's doing. What are people saying? So I have a list of speakers, and I also have a list of tags, so I can see kind of what all the chatter is about. And I'll just go and refresh that. And you'll notice that as I try to move my application, it wasn't really responding. It's hanging. It looks like for some reason there's some operation that's just taking way too long, and I don't like the poor performance that I'm getting with it. So I'm going to go in and actually take a look at my code. I can see within my code that I have this reload top tags, and in it, I'm actually making a synchronous call to pull the top tags. So now I want to go and actually make this asynchronous. Normally, this could be a very tricky operation. Sometimes I might even need to re-architect my code. Well, thankfully, with the new feature that we have in the .NET Framework 4.5, we've actually streamlined the ability to write asynchronous code. So I'm going to go here, and I'm just going to actually pull up the other method that I'm interested in, async await. You'll notice that I call it the exact same way I call my synchronous code. And the other thing I like to highlight as well is that my method, I've added two new keywords, async and await. And what that's enabled me to do is actually write asynchronous code almost as if it was synchronous code. So we can see our WPF applications reloaded here. I'll bring it up. I have my list of top tags. I could go and refresh it. And I could actually move my app around. And now it's actually more responsive. So you can see how with Visual Studio 2012, we really simplified the development of asynchronous operations. So that's actually pretty cool. But the thing I'm actually interested in now is that organizers are on the move, right? They're not always just sitting at a desk. And with that, they actually carry tablets. And because they're carrying a tablet, their experience is different. They need an app that's more touch sensitive, something that's information at your fingertips. So let's see what we have over here. We're going to go and actually take a look at our My Events app. What's going on here? So now I'm going to click on my organizers. You could see I could click on different events. And then I also have my session information. And as I look at my session, I could see a list of attendees. I see comments. So this is all looking pretty good. But the thing I'm really curious about is kind of, well, what's going on in Visual Studio? How was I able to go and create something like this? So you can see here that, once again, this is a XAML.NET app. So if you're used to writing XAML code already, your skills transfer. But the thing you might also be wondering is that, OK, it's great I can reuse my skills. But it's annoying that as I go from one device to another device, I'm writing the same code over and over and over again. Well, we actually have a solution for you. In Visual Studio 2012, we actually support portable libraries, which is a new feature in the .NET framework. And what this enables me to do is actually write all my code once and encapsulate it in a portable library. And then the only thing I need to do is actually transfer that portable library from device to device. And you see we support a wide variety of them, even including the Xbox 360. So once again, really streamlining your development experience and making you focus only on what's important. So this is looking great. The organizers are happy. But you know, all of you attendees, you guys want something hot too, right? You want something that you could play with and you can see what's going on with the event. So we actually have something for the attendees as well. As I go back to my tablet, we know that they also want something that touches the interaction and that also it's a bit more immersive. So we can see here with my attendee app, I have a variety of places I could go to. And I'm actually interested in this Madrid event. I could see here that not only do I have my title description, but I'm able to pull in my map. I could see the schedule that I have here. And let's go in and take a look at the keynotes. And with this, because it's more of a social application, I could see a variety of comments from my friends. And I can actually see my friends that are here that are coming in over Facebook. Another cool thing is that often when you see a session, especially a cool one, you really want to share with your friends kind of what you talked about, what you learned. Well, this app also includes the ability to view notes. And you can see here that I have this virtual paper, and I could just scroll through, and I can see different notes that friends are sharing with me. And we're actually going to talk about that paper in a moment. So if I go back to Visual Studio, because this app is for attendees, they want to make sure that everything is pixel perfect. This has to be the essence of perfection. Well, thankfully, I could take advantage of Blend for Visual Studio as I bring that up. And for those of you who are used to using it for XAML, if you're developing Windows Store apps, you could also use the HTML5 capabilities to write Windows Store apps. I could see here that I have a view of my tablet. But the one thing I know is that most of the design issues don't happen with the fake data. It happens with the real data when you interact with it in the real world. So I'd actually like to simulate that. Within Blend, I could take advantage of interactive mode. I could go in, I could select the different events I want. And I could see that the schedule isn't quite aligned with the name, and I actually want to change that. So I could actually just click out of interactive mode, go within the designer, select the different elements, and just go and just move things kind of as I please until I get it pixel perfect the way I want it. So once again, really streamlining how we create these apps and make them really delightful for end users. So now I have that, but I'm really curious about this virtual paper that I just saw. So let's go back to our tablet, and let's see what we have here. So I'm going to pull up my tablet app, or my paper app. And you can see here I could just grab it, and I could manipulate the paper. That's actually pretty great. But then there's other things I could do with it, too. Let's imagine like this was real paper. I want to simulate that. So I could actually just go through and rotate it like that. I could go out. I have a stylus if I want to take notes. So I'm going to go and just write a few things. So VS 2012. You could tell I spent a lot of time typing because my penmanship is not exactly the greatest. It's also touch sensitive, so I could draw light lines. I could draw bold lines there. And I could actually share these notes with friends. Thankfully, due to my app, it has contracts with Windows 8, so I could actually take advantage of things like the share charm. There. I could just pull up my app for attendees. I'll see a list of the different events and sessions. So I'll just go there and click share. Now the rest of my friends could great to see my great chicken scratch writing. But there's other things I want to do with paper too. Sometimes I get frustrated and I really just want to crumple the paper. So I could go and I could just make my paper dance like that as well. And I could just go through and say, let's cross out those notes. I don't really like that. So you can see here that I'm doing some pretty awesome stuff. But I know oftentimes the way I design my code and the way I want the graphics to appear doesn't always turn out the way I want it to. And I sometimes want to debug that and figure out what's going on. So if I go back to my Visual Studio, let's just pull up our journal app, I could actually go and just debug it right here. So I'm going to start some diagnostics. And because I'm using Windows 8, I actually get to take advantage of the simulator, especially for those of you who don't have a tablet already. I could go and actually simulate using my finger. So I could go through and just go and manipulate the paper. And that looks about right. Let's go and debug that. So I'm going to press the print screen button. Great. And as I go back to Visual Studio, I'm actually going to get this view. And I could say, let me look at that pixel. With that pixel, I end up getting a pixel history. And I could actually go through, and I could actually take a look at the pipeline stages. So I could see all the transformations that happened to my image that went into this rendering. I'll go and take a look at my vertex shader. OK, that's looking all right. But what I really care about is, what are the exact line of code that went into rendering this pixel? Because we know that there's a whole class of errors that could happen. That could be anywhere from my app to the information that I'm submitting into the DirectX or even the GPU. So I'll go through, and now I could actually see the exact line of code that was used for rendering those pixels. So we've seen this pretty cool advanced graphics debugging. And the reason why this is so important is that this enables me to do even greater things, like taking advantage of some of the hardware. In this case, maybe even taking advantage of Kinect for Windows and a webcam. So for this one, I'm going to need a little bit of help. So I'm just going to ask if Jason could come out.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. So you can see there, you see him over on the webcam. So for those of you who are unable to attend this event, we actually created a little mini virtual event server, which is our modern app using all the best practices we described today. So you can see Jason over there. And I'm actually just going to go and connect to it on my tablet. We could see here that we have the event information. So we'll select that one. And I could see a little information on Jason.
Let's do the wave.
So we see Jason over there on the Kinect. You'll also notice that behind him, you could see the audience over taking advantage of the webcam.
Hello.
So because we want to make this a sharing application, we're going to test out a few things. So we actually have this feature called Assess. So Jason, being an engineering manager, knows that I need to test all the edge cases. We can't leave anything to chance. So we're going to test something that really wouldn't happen. What would happen if people actually disapproved of these demos?
Oh.
Don't do that.
But in reality, we know that a lot of people have loved Visual Studio 2012. We've gotten a lot of great feedback. So this is probably the more accurate assessment.
That's more like it. All right.
So we've seen a lot of great things today. We've seen that you could actually bring your existing skills towards building modern applications, that Visual Studio is the one solution you need to create your continuous services and tie them to your connected devices. And you'll also note that for these demos that you saw today, you could actually go out and get the code if you go onto MSDN, look for samples, and you can get all of it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Orville. That was awesome. So I think at this point, you've seen us basically start at the bottom and make it all the way back up to the top, and a bunch of different form factors and cool code that you can do with the new tools that we've got coming out, and these cool new form factors as well. Now, a couple things I'll leave you with as we go off to work on connected devices and continuous services. One, we're going to work very hard on helping you do unified application services. So you saw on the back end, being able to build services, expose them, consume them in multiple types of ways on heterogeneous platforms, basically make sure you can get that out there everywhere. The next thing is we're really going to work hard on the modern client experiences. You saw some really cool stuff there with the power of C++ in addition to the Kinect and extra hardware, but that's going to work for C#, VB, JavaScript as well. All of those are going to work for you. After that, we really want the best tools for modern platforms. I think some of us probably spend more time looking at Visual Studio than most other things in our lives. So, you know, we want to really make sure that's a great environment for you. It's a productive environment. It's easy for you to work on your code, really get to the task, and get all of that content done. So we're really excited about the new launch, really excited about the new platforms that are coming out. I hope you enjoy the tools. I can't wait to see what you're going to build with them. Thank you.
SOHT is a global IT service provider. It's present in 15 countries and 200 offices around the globe. And we are delivering application services and infrastructure services. We are adopting constantly new practices. We've got a kind of continuous learning model in place. So we're improving constantly. And by having that in place with our in-house projects, we can talk to our customers and explain what the best practices are.
Customer expectations are changed. Now they expect us to release our software every 4 weeks. This shortens the development lifecycle.
Customers want nowadays that we really start working together with them.
TFS and Visual Studio makes development really fun because it gives us the right set of tools for our product owners, developers and testers to do their job.
We had one in-house project which started to work agile, and they really wanted to adopt agile, but it was a highly distributed team. The developers were in India, the customers were at their site, and we had that physical scrum board with the yellow papers on there with the backlog items, what should be in the product. And just because the customer was offsite, not on the scrum room, he started to shoot emails. And then we started to adopt Team Foundation service. And the customer now can add backlog items immediately on the scrum board. So we remove the emails, which are actually backlog items, to the central repository of Team Foundation server, where everybody has access to it. So everybody knows what was going on. My biggest advice for teams who are starting to adopt Agile and actually start adopting Agile application lifecycle management is having that continuous improvement backlog in place. You can't adopt application lifecycle management in one shot. It's really also a cultural aspect. Application lifecycle management is more than buying only the tool. It's also a culture, a process, a methodology process. Application lifecycle management is really working together. You are working together to deliver one product, one piece of business value. So trust is a major part from a cultural perspective.